He is a tough-talking CEO on a mission to shake up the mining industry. Since my next guest took control of the world's second biggest miner, he launched a hostile bid for its arch rival, now a partner in a joint venture, a buyout of a struggling subsidiary, and has sold more than $1 billion of assets. Mark Bristow, head of Barrick, joins me today in studio. Mark, it's been too long. Congratulations.
Thank you, Danielle.
It's been so long. The last time I spoke to you, you were still at Randgold.
That's correct.
And you've had tremendous success at Barrick. You are one of the greatest CEOs in mining history. But my question is, you've accomplished so much this year. You've said in past interviews, your vision now is where is my company in the next 10 years?
Exactly.
What's the strategy for Barrick?
So, you know, this last year has been fun as we've delivered on everything that we said we would. And now this year is about consolidation. We've got a lot to do on costs and efficiencies. We've got to roll out our sort of real-time data. Mm-hmm. And, you know, automation and sort of digital and that, we're building that platform so that we really do set the foundation for the future. And then it's about the industry itself, because as you point out, you know, if you look 10 years down, we can't be who we are today, but mining is definitely a very important component of the globe's future.
Mark, you've also said that copper will be a vital part of gold mining down the road. Are you only eyeing top-tier copper deposits like Grasberg, or would you even consider a mid-tier?
So Grasberg, just to correct you, is a top-tier copper asset, but it's also the world's number one tier one gold asset. And what I've already said is that if you want to build a global gold business capable of being relevant in two decades' time, you're going to have to accept that you're going to mine copper, because the big gold deposits today come with copper. So Barrick today has copper producers, but they are pure copper. But, you know, to be able to continue to replace the gold we mine, that's 5 million ounces a year, we're going to have to look at, particularly working in the Western Americas, that geology is primarily porphyry style deposits, and they come with, you know, when the gold price is up like today, they're gold mines. When the copper price is up, maybe they're copper mines, but they come collectively. And just for some reference, if you look at the undeveloped top tier copper deposits, more than two thirds of them are come with gold. And so it's a vice versa. And so, and yes, to answer your question, if we get involved in copper, they need to be tier one assets.
Would you have any interest in entering the platinum group space as a fellow South African?
I come from there.
Right.
My speciality is platinum. That's where I cut my teeth.
Right.
And but gold is precious, and it's not platinum.
It's not platinum, but now with the run-up in palladium, and look at rhodium, it's incredible.
Yeah,
it's no longer the most precious in the space.
Well, gold is still the most precious. but gold is, you know, the difference is, if you look at copper and gold, they come together geologically. And also metallurgically, the process that you use to extract and refine them, it's easy and it's very similar. Whereas platinum is a completely different game, found in different rock types. Mm-hmm. It's a different geology.
Let's get your sentiment on the mining market now. Spot gold, you know, up 8% year to date. But gold miners are underperforming. I'm not putting Barrick in that category, since you're actually outpacing a physical gold. But why the disconnect, do you think?
So we haven't invested in our future, as you and I have discussed in the past. And, you know, what the combination of Barrick and Randgold brings is that memory and experience of investing in exploration, which is really the engine that drives the value creating train, and we haven't done that. We're forecasting drop in production. The grades have dropped substantially in the global reserve of the industry, and so it's in a difficult position. Whereas if you look at Barrick, it's one of the few mining companies, when we declared our reserves this year on the basis of last year's depletion, We replaced the ounces we depleted through mining at a better grade. And so our quality is a standout in the industry.
And how far are we from finding that next big gold deposit, Mark?
So
is it out there?
It's yes, and absolutely. And so that's a very good question, because Barrick has Gold Rush and Four Mile, which are the latest mega discoveries in the gold industry, you know, post our discoveries in Randgold. And we've spent the last 12 months really pushing that ownership of the geology, the planning, back to the mines and empowering geologists. As you know, Randgold is always a geocentric company, and we want Barrick to be the same. And we are now in a position where we've staffed up on our exploration teams. We have fully staffed and capable exploration teams in West Africa, East Africa, the Andean trend down in South America, of course, Nevada, and recently Central Asia. We've just done a deal with Japan Gold.
Right.
And so our budget next year is about $170 million. For exploration, and most of that will be on greenfields looking forward to the future. And so we've caught up now, and we're ready to go back to that Randgold resource triangle, real focus on hunting that big elephant.
You've also upped dividends. Barrick is one of, you know, the mining industry is not known as an industry to pay out dividends. Barrick is one of the few. But is this an inevitable path that you feel the mining sector has to take to attract more generalist investors?
So your comment is, I can deal with that, because that's not why we're doing it. You know, the mining industry is full of vogues. You know, we follow things, but and they're all short term. I've always said dividends are supported by your P&L. If you look at our business plan, that's why we're rolling out a 10-year mm-hmm. plan mm-hmm. to share with the market. Mm-hmm. The dividends that we've announced, we can support going forward at $1,200 gold for 10 years. So this is a product of our success. I've always said to people, you know, my people, if you plan a certain plan, a business plan, mm-hmm. and you beat it, mm-hmm. and then the gold price is higher than what you expect, yeah. you should give something back to your owners, you know, and that's what we're doing. But it needs to be sustainable.
Well, I asked that question because, you know, when I ask people, why aren't you in the mining stocks? And the answer I usually get is, well, there's no dividend. I want a dividend. And, you know, when we talk about, well, how can you get people interested and educated in the mining sector? That's where my question was headed, is do you
exactly.
need that dividend?
So if you go back to Randgold Resources, our P&L looked like any other business anywhere in the world. And the mining industry's always got a little strange. It's P&L, its income yeah. statement has always been a bit challenging to understand. We've brought Barrick to that point. You know, if you look back 12
right.
months, we have halved the debt. We've got $6.5 billion of liquidity. We really have a business that's capable of delivering over 10 mm-hmm. years. We are able to invest in our future, and we are independent of the capital markets.
Walk us through your production guidelines of achieving this goal.
So our production guidelines are very simple, 5 million ounces a year for 10 years, and that's on what we've got, because we've got tier one assets. The definition of a tier one asset is it's got to produce at 500,000 mm-hmm. ounces mm-hmm. for more than 10 years in the bottom half of the cost curve. So if you look at Nevada and you look at North America, it's a 2.5 and growing production attributable to Barrick. LATAM, we call it Central South America and the Pacific Rim, we've about 1.1 million ounces, also for 10 years, because it's based on big producers. Mm-hmm. And then Africa, of course, with Loulo-Gounkoto and Kibali, which you know, and the recently consolidated Tanzanian assets, we have 1.5 million ounces for the first 2 years, and then it'll stable at ours at 1.3. And this is before we find anything more or expand it or replace it. So we're very comfortable with our 5 million ounce guidance, and the costs are coming down. The capital goes to sustaining capital, we generate the cash, and then we'll look for opportunities to build on that foundation.
Mark, you are a fierce competitor. Anyone who knows you knows you're a fierce competitor. You don't want to get in your way. You're an adrenaline junkie. How important is it to you to be in the number one spot in terms of gold producer?
So absolutely not important at all. We've said what we want to do is to be the most valued mining company, not only gold company, on this planet. Why do I do that? It's specific. We want shareholders to want to own us, not to invest in us, but to own us. We want young people to join us and want to be part of our team. And we want our host countries to want to have us in their country because we deliver value not only for their treasury, but also the people of that host country. And so that, you know, the point that you started with is, we, you know, I'm very clear that we want to build a business that's still going to be here right. In 2 decades time. So you've got to look at what is a modern mining company going to look like. And those, if you get it you will tick those three boxes.
And that's such an important point. And do you feel part of the reason that perhaps the younger generation doesn't consider mining is because they don't see it as sustainable, they don't see it as green? Do you think that's part of the problem?
Yes, and also as miners, we exclude them because, you know, we've always naturally gone to the back of the queue for intellect. And, you know, we are, I mean, in this end, and particularly if you look at the US and if you look at it's fully employed. But where is that employment? And you know, young people aspire to be at the top of their game. And what the mining industry offers young people is the ability is to become civil engineers, electrical engineers, social engineers, you know, infrastructure, health, right. We do all that. And so it is a very special place, but we've never seen ourselves as that. We always, you know, we are scared of our own shadow. We worry about, you know, the criticism we attract all the time, but we're our own worst enemies. We need to go out there and promote ourselves. And the best way to continue to position ourselves as a modern organization is get the young people in to help us build it.
And Mark, you know, you've been critical of the mining industry of the past. So if I put you in front of a room in front of like the mid-tiers and the juniors, what would you want to tell those CEOs? Like, wake up and...
So I'd want to tell them that maybe some of you shouldn't have a job. And that you've got too many management teams with too few assets, and we need to consolidate. And you know, Daniel, if you look back a year when we did those two quick transactions, and you see all the transactions that have happened in the last 12 months, we've seen that happen. And you know what? This last year is the first time that gold equities have outperformed the gold for many, many years. And so we've started. We're by no means there yet, but we've started.
Do you think another problem is sometimes they don't know when to let go of a deposit or walk away from a project, and they just you know, cling to it and say, no, it's going to be built, and there's gold there, and sometimes you just have to let it go, perhaps?
Exactly, and I mean, you know, it's always easy to criticize, but I always say to anyone, if you prepare to criticize, come up with an example. So we've done the nice bit in that we consolidated Barrick. We did a much more complicated, challenging exercise in challenging our partners in Newmont to put our assets together, and both of us now agree it was the right thing to do. And when you look at our recent deal with Teranga, with our Massawa asset, there's a classic example where traditionally the mining industry would have built another mine, and we went to the president and said, look, we don't have to build this mine because we've got a mine next door. So let's put these two together. It enhances your tax take because you don't get the big capital shield delay while we pay back capital. We have a much stronger organization in the combination. It grows the gold industry in Senegal and West Africa in general, and our shareholders benefit, but so do the Teranga shareholders.
I know a lot of our viewers watching want to get your take on the gold forecast. Obviously, gold has had an incredible year. $1,900 gold doesn't seem so out of reach right now. Goldman Sachs putting out a projection of $1,800 gold. What's your take on on the price.
So, Danielle, just to put it in perspective, we still allocate our capital at $1,200 because the gold price over the years that I've been in this industry goes up and down, not necessarily in that sequence. And what we're seeing now is we've seen a gentle increase in the gold price for some time, and never before in the three decades I've been involved in the gold industry are the technicals so aligned for the gold price. What we are seeing is a bit of noise from the virus scare that you can't run your business on that. You know, various other investors position themselves around that risk, and that's why the gold price has spiked a little bit. Not as much as it should have, perhaps, but more importantly, if you look at the gold equities, they're much more, they're not as highly valued as you point out earlier, because again, we can't show that runway of 10 years or longer in investment, and we have to do that. But I would say that the gold price is very definitely has more upside risk, and I'm talking about from the sort of average that we saw around 13 to 1400, and we've seen it break 1500, we've seen it break 1600. Some of that is short term, but the other thing is you've seen as well China immediately move to create more liquidity, and this global economy is too insular, too focused on short-termism. We're not as a global economy focused on everyone on the planet.
Interesting.
And we, you know, so when you look at this, I just think that the geopolitical risk and the economic risk of our planet as it stands today is at risk, and so driven by, of course, the concern about the environment, but I would urge people to look past that to society, the S and the G and the ESG,
right?
Because really, we as privileged members of this global community should be worrying about how do we make sure that we don't leave anybody else behind in our sort of vision, and we bring those people out of poverty.
Right, but there's too much selfishness.
Exactly. Right?
You mentioned the coronavirus, and you said you can't build a gold business based on this, but it has supported the gold price. It has put distress on the copper price, down 9% year to date. Has it impacted mining operations?
No, not yet. I'm sure it has in some parts of the world. But you know, for Barrick, I've been through the Western African Ebola crisis. We're still dealing with the Ebola crisis in the Eastern DRC. It's, by the way, today was the eighth day we haven't seen a new infection there. And we understand that epidemic risk. And although Ebola is not as infectious as the coronavirus, it's a lot more deadly. And what we've learned, and we've already rolled those protocols out, is common hygiene is so important to managing this, understanding everybody coming in and out of your organization. And you know, we've got assets everywhere in the world, and the developed world is the place that you have to really worry.
I can't believe it's already, you know, over a year that you're at Barrick now. Looking back, a particular highlight for you of this past year, Mark?
You know, the highlight have been the people that I work with. You know, I remember sitting with John Thornton and saying, if we're going to do this ambitious project and we're going to get everyone behind, the most important thing is the people. And in July of 2018, we got 11 executives from both sides, and we sat down for a day and worked through getting their input on what, you know, sharing what we wanted to do and getting their, you know, their concerns and their what excited them and so on. And then in November of 2018, we had a 30-person review, and we with a facilitator, and we worked through our vision and what we would all do in the next 12 months. And last 2 weeks ago, we had that same workshop. We look back, And it was amazing. Everyone was amazed, but it was how much we achieved against what we set ourselves to achieve. And again, it takes me back to young people, agility. You know, the greatest thing about younger people compared to my generation is we were good learners, but you had to teach us. The young people teach themselves today, you know, the gizmos and technology and that sort of thing. Yeah. And so, you know, and really to see that success and everything we achieved last year is really a result of that teamwork across the Barrett Group.
You have had tremendous success, Mark. And now you are headed to the PDAC
in
Toronto, the world's largest mining conference. I will not be there. Kiko News will be there. But you are a keynote speaker. So what's your message going to be?
So I've got two messages, one to Africa about, you know, when you look at this world and you look at the demands on metals and minerals, Africa has, and everyone boasts about Africa's endowment, and it's never been able to unlock it because, you know, we think we short-term globally, but Africa is even more short-term, and we sort of eat the lunch before it's baked. And so there's a huge opportunity. By 2025, Africa will have the largest population under 25 years old. It's wireless, and we've proved that you can build world-class businesses with Africans. So my message is, you know, politicians and NGOs and everyone associated with Africa, we all need to get together and really partner between capital, human capital, real capital, and the sort of platform, government platforms to unlock what is an enormous endowment. That's the one. And the other is all about this industry and mining in general needs to invest in its future. It needs to find better quality assets. It needs to invest in its future in the sense of ESG, license to operate. And you know, we built Randgold on license to operate because we operated in places you wouldn't go on holiday to, but we proved to be successful because, you know, we really built that partnership. And I think, you know, again, if we're going to be relevant in the future, and be able to sit back and talk about what we do and be celebrated by society. Right. We're going to have to do things differently, and we're going to have to invest in that.
Mark Bristow, CEO of Barrick Gold, continued success. Thank you so much for coming
Daniel.
Down to the
thank
Financial
you for inviting me.
District here in New York City. And thank you for watching. We will have much more coverage for you. We will be headed to the PDAC in Toronto, so be sure to follow all our coverage on Kitco.com.